From Spark and Anvil and Alchemist Forge, this is Hint Hertha and Stretch Sage in Chapter 1 of the Alchemist Forge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. The fraction problem glared up at Maya from the page, a small, unassuming puzzle that had somehow managed to anchor her to her chair for the last 20 minutes. It wasn't, by library standards, an especially monstrous calculation, but it felt like one. The worksheet read, "A baker has a recipe that calls for 3/4 cup of flour. She wants to make 2/3 of a batch. How much flour does she use?" Maya stared at the numbers, her mind a tangled knot. She tried adding the fractions, but the result felt instinctively wrong, too large for a recipe that was supposed to be smaller than the original. Subtracting them felt even worse, leaving her with a void where understanding should have been. A faint memory stirred, suggesting multiplication, but the idea of multiplying 2 fractions less than one and getting an answer smaller than either of them seemed like a mathematical cheat code, something possibly illegal in the strict laws of arithmetic. She had been chewing on the end of her pencil for so long that the eraser now bore distinct, jagged teeth marks. Finally, with a sigh that felt too heavy for her chest, she pushed back from the table. She walked across the worn carpet to the wooden booth nestled between the bustling children's section and the quiet hum of the back room. Reaching out, she gave the small brass bell a decisive ring. Ding! The brass shutter above the counter slid open with a soft clatter. Hint Hertha peered out over the top of her round glasses, her expression calm and curious. 3 knitting needles were balanced precariously on her wrist, a small ball of bright yellow yarn resting in her lap like a slumbering pet. "Tell me what the problem is asking," Hertha said, her voice a gentle invitation. Maya read the question aloud, enunciating each word carefully, then repeated it for good measure. Hertha nodded slowly, a thoughtful rhythm to her movements. She set her knitting aside, her full attention now on Maya. "What does it truly mean," Hertha asked, her gaze steady, "to take 2/3 of a batch?" Maya frowned, the question feeling both simple and profound. "It means you make less than a whole batch. You make a smaller batch, I guess." "Precisely. And how much smaller?" 2/3 of the original size. "So if a whole batch needed 3 cups of flour, how much would 2/3 of a batch require?" Hertha's voice was soft, guiding. Maya paused, picturing the scenario in her mind. 2 cups, she said, the answer arriving with a small spark of clarity. "Why 2? "Because 2/3 of 3 is 2. It just is." Hertha's smile widened, a warm, encouraging gesture. "Excellent. Now, the recipe doesn't call for 3 cups, does it? It calls for 3/4 of a cup. So tell me, what does 2/3 of 3/4 mean?" Maya stared at the worksheet, the numbers blurring for a moment, then sharpening into focus. "Oh," she whispered, the realization blossoming in her mind.
She walked back to her table, a new lightness in her step. She picked up her pencil and wrote slowly, carefully, on the page. "I need 2/3 of 3/4 of a cup. She turned the phrase over in her head, examining it from every angle. 2/3 of 3/4. It wasn't an addition problem. It wasn't a subtraction problem. It was a taking part of a part problem, a concept that suddenly felt distinct and manageable. She had encountered these before, though usually with whole numbers. 2/3 of 15. To solve that, you would divide 15 by 3, then multiply the result by 2. 15 divided by 3 is 5. 5 times 2 is 10. So 2/3 of 15 was 10. The method was clear. The same method, she reasoned, must apply to fractions. 3/4 divided by 3 is 1/4. 1/4 times 2 is 2/4. And 2/4, simplified, is 1/2. The baker uses 1/2 cup of flour. Maya checked her work, a meticulous habit she'd learned at the library. 1/2 cup is 2/3 of 3/4 of a cup. To visualize it, she quickly sketched a glass, marking off 3/4 of its height. Then she mentally divided that section into 3 equal parts and shaded 2 of them, Yes, the shaded section landed exactly at the halfway mark. A quiet laugh escaped her, a sound of pure relief. She wrote 1/2 cup in the answer box, then set her pencil down. The pencil felt much lighter now, as if the weight of the unsolved problem had finally lifted from its wooden shaft.
Maya was gathering her books and papers, preparing to leave, when she heard a low rumble of a voice behind her. "What's that on the worksheet?" She turned around. Stretch Sage stood in the aisle, his sketchbook tucked casually under one arm. He must have emerged from his alcove, observing her progress in his usual quiet way. "It's a fraction problem," Maya explained, a hint of pride in her voice. "I figured it out." "May I see?" His tone was curious, inviting. She handed him the worksheet. Stretch read the problem, then Maya's neat calculations. He nodded slowly, a thoughtful expression on his face, before turning his characteristic crooked smile on her. "This is good," he said, his eyes crinkling at the corners. "Hertha helped you see it as taking a part of a part. That's the true meaning, the deep understanding. Most kids just memorize, multiply across the top, multiply across the bottom. You actually saw it." "Thank you," Maya replied, pleased by his genuine praise. "What would happen," Stretch continued, tapping the page with a long finger, "if the baker wanted to make 7/8 of a batch instead of 2/3? Maya considered the new numbers. "Then I'd need 7/8 of 3/4, she stated, the process already clear in her mind. "And how would you calculate that?" "3/4 divided by 8 is 3/32, times 7 is 21/32. I'd use 21/32 of a cup." 21/32 is a pretty small amount, Stretch observed, raising an eyebrow. "Does that sound reasonable?" "It's less than a cup, which makes sense," Maya reasoned. "The original recipe called for 3/4 of a cup. 7/8 is almost a whole batch, so the flour should be almost 3/4 of a cup. 21/32 is..." She quickly performed a mental conversion. 24/32 is 3/4, so 21 is 3 less than 24. That's 3/32 less than 3/4. That's a little less than a teaspoon less than 3/4. Yes, that sounds right. "That sounds right to me too," Stretch agreed, nodding his approval. He then flipped the worksheet over, revealing a blank side. "Now, what would happen," he asked, his voice taking on a slightly playful tone, "if the recipe called for 2/3 cup of flour instead of 3/4, and the baker wanted 3/4 of a batch instead of 2/3? Maya squinted at the imaginary problem. "That's the same numbers, just swapped around. Is it the same answer?" She paused, the question hanging in the air. 3/4 of 2/3, 2/3 of 3/4. She had just solved the second one. Now she needed to try the first. 2/3 divided by 4 is 2/12, times 3 is 6/12, which simplifies to 1/2. The same answer. 1/2 cup. Maya's eyes widened in surprise. "It's the same?" she breathed, incredulous. "It's the same," Stretch confirmed. "But that doesn't make sense," Maya protested. "The recipe is different, the batch size is different." "And yet," Stretch said, a subtle smile playing on his lips. Maya stared at her worksheet, a new, larger puzzle forming in her mind. "The order doesn't matter," she said slowly, testing the words. 2/3 of 3/4 is the same as 3/4 of 2/3. The amount of flour needed is identical." "Why might that be?" Stretch prompted, his voice encouraging her to dig deeper. Maya thought hard, the answer hovering somewhere just out of reach, a half-formed idea struggling to surface. "Because we're taking the same total amount of stuff each time? 2/3 and 3/4 multiplied together is the same as 3/4 and 2/3 multiplied together. Multiplication doesn't care about order. 2 times 3 is the same as 3 times 2. So when we multiply fractions to get a part of a part, it doesn't matter which is the part and which is the whole." "That's a deep observation," Stretch said, his voice filled with genuine admiration. "That's actually a fundamental property of multiplication. Mathematicians call it commutativity. It holds true for whole numbers, it holds true for fractions, it holds for almost every kind of number you'll ever encounter. Multiplication doesn't care about order. Addition doesn't either, but subtraction does, and division does. You can learn a great deal about a mathematical operation by simply asking whether it cares about the order of its numbers. Maya looked at the worksheet again. The original problem, which had seemed so daunting just an hour ago, now felt very, very small. It had expanded, growing into something much wider and more profound. She had started the afternoon stuck on one specific fraction baking problem. She had ended it with a discovery about a fundamental property of multiplication.
She was packing her bag for real this time, her mind still buzzing. Hertha had emerged from her booth, stretching her legs with a quiet groan. Stretch still leaned against the table, observing. "You two ganged up on me," Maya said, a playful accusation in her voice. "We didn't gang up," Hertha corrected, a twinkle in her eye. "I showed up first. Sage showed up second. He always does that." "I show up after the problem has been defeated," Stretch clarified, his tone dry. "I cannot defeat problems. I can only widen them. Hertha defeats them by making them smaller. Then I take what is left and make it bigger again, in a different direction." "It's the same problem," Hertha insisted gently. "It is the same problem," Stretch agreed. "It's just gone smaller and then wider," Hertha finished, summarizing their method. "You make it sound easy," Maya said, still marveling at the transformation. "I make it sound like a discipline," Hertha corrected, her voice firm but kind, "which is precisely what it is. The problem on your page took 20 minutes to defeat. The lesson, the true understanding, took one afternoon. That lesson is going to last you a year, and likely much longer. That is the trade." Stretch nodded slowly, his gaze distant, as if seeing the vast landscape of mathematics. "Smaller than wider," he murmured. "That's the whole job." "That's the whole job," Hertha agreed, a quiet certainty in her voice. Maya walked home along the winding path through the library gardens. She did not stop thinking about 3/4 and 2/3 the entire way. She did not stop thinking about commutativity either, even though she did not yet fully trust the word. She had never met a math word she trusted on first acquaintance, but the concept itself felt solid. But she had decided one thing with absolute certainty. She would ring Hertha's bell again tomorrow, and then she would go find Stretch in his alcove. She would do it in that specific order. But the order wasn't what she carried home. What she carried was the feeling, a warm, unhurried gladness that settled somewhere behind her ribs. She had come in tangled and heavy-chested. She walked home with her shoulders loose, and something quietly proud humming inside her, the way it feels when a thing you feared turns out to be a friend.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Hint Hertha and Stretch Sage. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.